माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shyama Sundar, Radha Shyama Sundar Radhe. Jai Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupad. Nitai Gaura Hare Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Kacharya Ashtotar Sat. His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व पद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 9 ध्रुव महाराज रिटर्न्स होम। टेक्स्ट 15 I beg your pardon, 14. Kalpanta etat akhilam jatharena grihnan shete pumam स्वद्रेक अनंत सखह तदंके यत नाभि सिंधु रुह कांचन लोक पद्मा गर्भे द्युमान भगवते प्रणतो अस्मि तस्मै। कल्पांत एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् शेते पुमान स्वदृगनंत सखस्तदंके यन्नाभिसिंधुरुह कांचन लोक पद्म गर्भे द्युमान भगवते प्रणतोस्मि तस्मै। कल्पांत एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् शेते पुमान स्वदृगनंत सखस्तदंके यन्नाभिसिंधुरुह कांचन लोक पद्म गर्भे द्युमान भगवते प्रणतोस्मि तस्मै। कल्पांत एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् शेते पुमान स्वदृगनंत सखस्तदंके यन्नाभिसिंधुरुह कांचन लोक पद्म गर्भे द्युमान भगवते प्रणतोस्मि तस्मै। सिंधुरुह कांचन लोक पद्म गर्भे द्युमान भगवते प्रणतोस्मि तस्मै। कल्पा कल्पांत एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् शेते पुमान् स्वदृगनन्त सखस्तदङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुह गर्भे द्युमान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै कल्पान्त एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् शेते पुमान् स्वदृगनन्त सखस्तदङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुह काञ्चन लोकपद्म गर्भे द्युमान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् तदङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुह काञ्चन लोकपद्म गर्भे द्युमान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् पुमान् स्वदृगनन्त सखस्तदङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुह काञ्चन लोकपद्म गर्भे द्युमान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै माताजीस् प्लीज़ कल्पान्त एतदखिलं जठरेण गृह्णन् शेते पुमान् स्वदृगनन्त सखस्तदङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुह काञ्चन लोकपद्म गर्भे द्युमान् भगवते यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुह काञ्चन रुह पद्म गर्भे द्युमान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै कल्प अन्ते एट् दि एण्ड् आफ् द मिलेनियम् एतत् दिस् यूनिवर्स् अखिलम् आल् jathareṇa within the belly grihṇan withdrawing śete lies down pumān the supreme person svadrik looking upon himself ananta the unlimited being śeṣa sakaha accompanied by tat anke on his lap yat from whose nabhi navel sindhu ocean ruha sprouted kanchana golden loka planet padma of the lotus गर्भे ऑन द वर्ल्ड डिमान लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा भगवते अनटू द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड प्रणतः ऑफरिंग ओबेसेंसेस अस्मि आई एम तस्मै अनटू हिम. Translation and purport also by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Lord, at the end of each millennium, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Garbhodakshay Vishnu dissolves everything manifested within the universe into His belly. He lies down on the lap of Sheshanag. From his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower on a stem, and on that stem and on that lotus Lord Brahma is created. I can understand that you are the same Supreme Godhead. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Dhruva Maharaja's understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete. In the Vedas, it is said, Yasmin vijñāte sarvam evam vijñātam bhavati. Knowledge received through the transcendental causeless mercy of the Lord is so perfect that by that knowledge, the devotee becomes acquainted with all the different manifestations of the Lord. Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu was present before Dhruva Maharaj, who could also understand the Lord's two other forms, namely Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Karanodakshaya or Mahavishnu. Regarding Mahavishnu, it is stated in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 48.
यस्यैकनिःश्वसितकालमथावलम्ब्य जीवन्ति लोम विलजा जगदण्डनाथाः विष्णुर्महान् स इह यस्य कला विशेषो गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि.
At the end of each and every millennium, when all the material worlds are dissolved, everything enters the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is lying on the lap of Sheshanag, another form of the Lord. Those who are not devotees cannot understand the different forms of Vishnu and their positions in regard to the creation. Sometimes the atheists argue, how can a flower stem sprout from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? They consider all the statements of the Shastras to be stories. As a result of their inexperience in the absolute truth and their reluctance to accept authority, they become more and more atheistic. They cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, by the grace of the Lord, knows all the manifestations of the Lord and their different positions. It is said that anyone who has even a little of the Lord's grace can understand His glories. Others may go on speculating on the absolute truth, but they will always be unable to understand the Lord. In other words, unless one comes in contact with a devotee, it is not possible to understand the transcendental form or the spiritual world and its transcendental activities.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेम पुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरः न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा We are in the fourth canto, the ninth chapter. Dhruva Maharaj has left home, having been insulted by the co-wife of his father. He has performed severe austerities under the guidance of Srila Narad Muni, and his objective was very clear. He wanted a kingdom that was greater even than the kingdom of Lord Brahma, his great-grandfather. And having performed austerities which are so severe that no one can even dream of performing them, and by performing which the entire universe was put into great turmoil, finally the Lord appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, and very mercifully he touched his conch shell to Dhruva Maharaj's forehead, and then, being surcharged with spiritual energy, Dhruva even though a mere boy of 5 years, he composed wonderful poetry in glorification of the Supreme Lord. Such glorification of the Lord is possible only by the mercy of the Lord. And it takes place under the jurisdiction of the spiritual energy of the Lord. A materialist cannot compose prayers like Dhruva Maharaj did. And in the course of these prayers, we have come to text 14 in this chapter, where Dhruva Maharaj understands the identity of the Lord. He understands that the person who has appeared before him is none other than that Supreme Lord who is the origin of the entire creation. He is the one who maintains the entire creation. And also, he is the one in whom everything resides when the creation is destroyed. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Dhruva Maharaj's understanding of the Supreme Lord is complete. Because he is a devotee, he has been blessed with this understanding by the Supreme Lord. It is only a devotee who can understand the intricate and subtle truths of the Lord and his various expansions and incarnations and the way they appear in this world and the way they deal with this creation. The Lord who appeared before Dhruva Maharaj is called Prishni Garbha. In the second canto, the seventh chapter, Shukadev Goswami is describing to Maharaj Parikshit about 25 different incarnations of the Lord as they appeared in this material world. Many of these incarnations were those in the age of Svayambhuva Manu. That is, these incarnations happened in the Svayambhuva Manvantara. Of course, the incarnations of the Lord are countless, like waves in the ocean. And in this seventh chapter of the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami has mentioned only a few, only 25. And in the course of that discussion, he also mentions in one of the verses that Dhruva Maharaj, having been insulted by the co-wife of his father, that is his stepmother, felt so stung by her harsh words that he left home to go to the forest and performed severe penances. And as a result of those penances, the Supreme Lord appeared before him and granted him a benediction of obtaining a Dhruva Loka planet, which was none other than the Vaikuntha planet that was manifested by the Lord within this material world, especially for the sake of his beloved devotee, Dhruva Maharaj. So this much is mentioned in the seventh chapter of the second canto. But it is not mentioned who that Lord was, in the sense of what the incarnation's name was. That has not been mentioned. So in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has made a very nice analysis of how we can understand who this Lord is. After having quoted this verse from the second canto, he again refers to the tenth canto. Now we all know that when the Lord appeared before his parents, Mother Devaki and Vasudev, in the prison of Kamsa, he appeared in his four-armed form. He was fully clothed with his golden dhoti called the Pitambar. He had a full head of hair. He had all his ornaments and he had his Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, the four things he carries in his hands like the conch, the disc and so on. And he spoke very sweetly to his parents. And he also informed them just to allay their fears that he was the Supreme Lord. And he said to Mother Devaki that, "My dear mother, this is not the first time that you have appeared as my mother. Many, many years ago, you became my mother when you were Prishni. And your husband, who is also now my father and is your husband, was Sutapa. He was a Prajapati. And both of you performed penances for many thousands of years. These penances were very, very severe. And then I appeared as your son, Prishni Garbha, the son of Prishni. Garbha means the womb. And then after that, you appeared as Aditi, and your husband appeared as Kashyap, and I also came as your son, and I was known as Vamanadev. And now this third time, you have come as Devaki, and my father has come as Vasudev, and I have appeared before you again." So Rupa Goswami says that in this mention of Prishni Garbha, the activities of Prishni Garbha have not been mentioned. So he brings the two together. He says in the second canto, only the activities of the Lord have been mentioned, but his name is not mentioned. In the tenth canto, his name is mentioned, but his activities have not been mentioned. So how does Rupa Goswami conclude that the Lord who has appeared before Dhruva Maharaj is Prishni Garbha? He says of all the incarnations who have been mentioned as having appeared in Svayambhuva Manmantara, they've already been mentioned before. Before Dhruva Priya, or the one who has blessed Dhruva Maharaj. It can't possibly refer to incarnations like Yajna, Hari and so on, because they have already appeared, they have already been mentioned. Had they been the one to bless Dhruva Maharaj, it would have been mentioned when their names were mentioned earlier on. But their names are not mentioned there. Their activity of blessing Dhruva Maharaj is not mentioned there. Therefore, we can understand that it is not they who appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj. Because it is important that there is a need to identify both the name as well as the activities of a particular avatar, so Rupa Goswami is making this analysis. And Rupa Goswami says we should know both these things about every incarnation, the name as well as the activities. And sometimes in the scriptures we see the name is mentioned in one place and the activities are mentioned in another place. So one has to correlate both these things. So Rupa Goswami says, just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are mentioned, there may be mention of a hill. For example, in the verse, Hantaya Madri Rabala Haridasa Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parashat Pramodaha. So in this famous verse, the gopis are speaking to each other and saying, "Alas, just see, we are not fortunate. But this hill, Hantayam, Ayam Adri, this hill is very, very fortunate. Because he is Haridasa Varyaha. He is the best devotee of Hari or Krishna. And he appears jubilant because Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha. Because the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram have been placed upon him, so he appears jubilant." So Rupa Goswami says that when the word Adri or hill is mentioned without mentioning a name in Vrindavan, we should understand that that hill refers to Govardhan. So like that, by inference, one can understand that the Lord who appeared before Dhruva Maharaj in the Svayambhuva Manmantara is none other than Prishni Garbha, who has been mentioned by Krishna himself when he appeared before Devaki and Vasudev. So therefore, we understand that this Lord here is Prishnigarbha. He is the same Prishnigarbha who also appears as the Lord of all creation, as Garbhotakashaya Vishnu, who manifests himself within this material universe. And from the navel, a stem of the lotus emanates, and on top of the lotus, we have Brahma, who takes birth, and is known as Swayambhuva, because he doesn't have a father who is material. The Supreme Lord directly is his father. So in this connection, there is a pastime that comes to mind from the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with the sage Markandeya. Markandeya Rishi was a very, very austere sage. He performed austerities for many, many long years. And he would also practice celibacy very perfectly. The Lord was very pleased with him. And he appeared in front of him and said, I'm very pleased with your austerities and your devotion. So please ask me for any benediction. Markandeya Rishi replied that, I have had your audience, I have had your darshan. That is sufficient benediction for me. I do not seek anything else. But since you have asked me, there is one thing that I may like to see. I want to see the display of your illusory potency. The Lord smiled ruefully and he said, Tathastu, so be it. And he disappeared from that place. Soon after, there was a torrential downpour of rain. And it is described in the Bhagavatam that this downpour of rain was like as heavy as wagon wheels. Not just like pillars, but like wagon wheels. And everywhere it seemed that the sky was exploding. And there was water everywhere. Water filled the entire universe very quickly. And Markandeya Rishi found himself swimming in this vast ocean of destruction, the Pralaya Jala. And as time went on, he kept on floating and he seemed to be the only one who remained alive for some time. There were other creatures of the ocean, like the terrifying Makara fish and the Timingala fish. But after some time, he was all alone wandering about in the waters of devastation. And he could not distinguish sky from water. There was water everywhere. And he was on the point of death, but he didn't die. And somehow in the midst of great difficulty, he went on and on. And it is described that millions of years passed by. And as he was moving along in the water aimlessly, helplessly, he came across a very wonderful sight. All of a sudden, in the midst of this terrible ocean of devastation, he saw a young banyan tree. And on one of the branches of the banyan tree, on one of the leaves, he saw a most astonishing sight. This sight was that of a small child who was blue-colored and who was looking very, very charming, whose eyes were blown like lotus petals and whose ears were like pomegranate flowers and whose teeth were like pearls. And he was looking very mercifully at Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi did not understand who this boy was, but he went towards him. And the sight of this boy was so charming that Markandeya Rishi wanted to embrace this child. And all of a sudden, he found himself being sucked into the body, through the mouth of this child, into his body. And he entered into the stomach of this child. And inside, he saw the entire universe, the entire creation, with all the stars and the planets. He saw the hills and the rivers and the oceans. He saw the pasturing grounds, the cities, the villages. He saw people of different varnas and different ashramas performing their different duties. In fact, he even saw the Pushpabhadra river and on the banks of which was his own ashram. He even saw all these things within the womb or the stomach of this little child. He was completely mystified. And then even as this vision continued, the Lord exhaled. And with his outer breath, Markandeya Rishi came out and found himself again in the ocean. And then the Lord disappeared, this vision disappeared, and Markandeya Rishi found himself again in his ashram. Now this pastime has been narrated here briefly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto. But in the Mahabharata, the description is very elaborate. And the pastime happened not far from here in Kamyavan, then known as Kamyakvan. It happened in the month of Kartik. The Pandavas were in the 12th year of their exile in forest, towards the end of it, because they had to only a short while left before they would go back to reclaim their kingdom. At this time, Lord Krishna in Dwarka understood that the Pandavas had come back to Kamyakvan. So he came there along with Satyabhama. The Pandavas were very joyful to see Krishna coming there with Satyabhama. So they spoke sweet words to each other. They were very happy to see Krishna. Krishna expressed words of affection and sorrow, saying that it is heartbreaking to see all of you in this sorrowful condition. Of course, Krishna didn't state that it was by his own divine arrangement that the Pandavas were in this sorrowful condition, because Krishna had many things to accomplish through the Pandavas. That is why it is by his will that the Pandavas came there. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bhishma Dev is about to pass away, the Pandavas gather in front of Bhishma Dev, and he says, "Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, what great difficulty, what great injustice has been done to you. You Pandavas should never have been placed in such difficult situations, because you are pious, you are virtuous, you are great devotees. This should never have happened. But it has happened. So therefore one can understand that this is the doings of time. Time is supreme. And it is only because of the workings of time within this world that you have gone through this." And Srila Prabhupada explains that what does Bhishma Dev mean? That time is responsible for the condition of the Pandavas. He explains this is the will of the Lord. Because the time, energy is non-different from the Lord. So therefore, the will of the Lord is expressed through the medium of time. And due to the all-powerful effect of time, the Pandavas had to go through these turbulent situations. The Lord wanted to establish Dharma through the Pandavas. So Krishna was commiserating with the sorrow of the Pandavas. And just at that moment, the great Rishi Markandeya arrived through the skyways. And he arrived there. He was welcomed duly by Krishna and the Pandavas and the other sages who were present there. And he was given a proper place to sit. And they also wanted to hear from him. At that time, Narad Muni also arrived. And he also wanted to hear from Markandeya Rishi. Yudhishthir Maharaj, after having welcomed the sage properly, he began to question him. He said, "My dear sage, please tell us, my cousin Duryodhana is very evil. He has performed all kinds of evil acts, but he continues to prosper. And as far as I am concerned, along with my brothers and our wife and our mother, we have been undergoing so much of torture. So how is it that this happens? How does this law of karma work? Is it that the karma comes to us in this life, or does it come in future lives? How does this all work, and what is the meaning of all this that is happening to us here?" So Markandeya Rishi thanked Yudhishthir for his wonderful questions. And he said, "My dear king, the activities that we perform are recorded by Yamaraj. Because the Supreme Lord is present in our heart as a super soul, and Yamaraj is empowered by the Supreme Lord, so Yamaraj understands everything. And when we leave this body, our karma and our impressions, our sanskaras are carried forward through our subtle body. And this continues life after life. So the reactions of our karma may come in this life or in a future life. And Markandeya Rishi goes on to give another further analysis of how it works, which I will not go into at this time. And having explained these things, he went on to discuss many, many other topics. And then finally, he came to this topic which we just discussed. Markandeya Rishi was blessed with a long memory. He was very long living. And he had actually been through the whole night of Brahma. And the assembled personalities there were eager to hear this very extraordinary experience. So then they asked him to narrate that. And Markandeya Rishi said that, yes, when I was swimming in the waters of devastation, I saw this most beautiful effulgent child. And this child was not only smiling, but after some time, he actually took his lotus feet in his hands and he put his toe into his mouth, into his lotus mouth, and he began to suck it. And I was most astonished to see this wonderful vision. And when I went closer, very mercifully this boy, he looked at me and said, "My dear child, it seems that you are very tired. Come, it looks like you want to rest. Come within me and rest." And then he took his breath in, and I went inside his body, and I entered his stomach, and I saw the entire creation. And then when I came out, then the Lord said, "You may be within me for long as the night of Brahma prevails. Because in this night of Brahma, nobody else can survive here in these planets. So all the creation, the entire creation is resting in me. So come inside me, my dear child, and rest in me for a while. And when the day of Brahma dawns again, and you will come out and live your life again." So in this way he returned, and he saw everything that was manifested, but it was now within the body or within the stomach of the Supreme Lord. Markandeya Rishi actually goes on to describe in even more detail, but time does not permit us to get into the details of what Markandeya Rishi experienced at this time. This is a very, very wonderful pastime. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when the Lord was putting his toes into his mouth and sucking it, he was doing so for a very special reason. Because the Lord wants to know the kind of nectar that is available at his lotus feet. He knows that the devotees are forever wanting to taste the nectar of his lotus feet. And the Lord thinks the devotees are so happy tasting nectar. So I also want to know the taste of this nectar that my feet have. Now obviously, in his eternal Kishore Roop, as a 16-year-old boy, as an adolescent youth, you can't be seen to be sucking your own toe. It is very unusual for a grown-up person to suck his toe. That would be very, very extraordinary. But for a baby or for a child to suck his own toe is something very natural. All babies do that. They suck their own toe, they suck everything. They suck their fingers, their toe. So therefore the Lord took the form of a child and sucked his own toe to understand what is it that my devotees are experiencing. What kind of nectar do they experience? So actually to be a devotee of the Lord is better than to be the Lord himself. Because even the Lord wants to know what kind of happiness the devotee is experiencing. Srila Prabhupada says that there are many sadhakas, many spiritualists who want to become God. But Prabhupada says they are not very intelligent. Because the devotee doesn't want to become God. And even though he always wants to be a servant of the Lord, he actually becomes greater than God. He actually controls God by his devotion. And he experiences a happiness which even the Lord wants to understand and figure out. Therefore, the Lord performs pastimes like this, like sucking his own toe, so he can taste the nectar of his own feet, for which the devotees are always hankering. In this connection, there is a very famous verse. Actually, there is a poem that has been composed by Bilwa Mangal Thakur. It is called Bal Mukundashtakam. And in this series of 8 verses, Bilwa Mangal Thakur has glorified the Supreme Lord in his baby form. And he glorifies his various activities, and he also has composed a verse about the vision that Markandeya Rishi had.
Kararavindena padaravindam mukharavinde vinivesayantam vatasya patrasya puteshayanam balam mukundam manasasmarami.
Bilwa Mangal Thakur prays that I remember always that Bal Mukunda, that small child, Krishna, in the form of Mukunda, who has held his lotus toe with his lotus hands and has put that lotus toe into his lotus mouth and is sucking on it. And he is lying on a leaf of a banyan, on a banyan leaf in the waters of devastation. This is the vision Bilwa Mangal Thakur shares with all of us, indicating what Markandeya Rishi saw. So this was a very beautiful sight. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur goes on to further describe how the Supreme Lord has actually placed the entire universes within his belly. When the demigods come to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord, soon after he has been born in Mathura from the womb of Mother Devaki, they are astonished that he, in whom the entire universes reside, in whose stomach or in whose belly the entire creation resides, now himself has appeared within the belly of Mother Yashoda, so of Mother Devaki. So how fortunate is Mother Devaki? So they are offering obeisances to Mother Devaki because she is the one in whose belly or whose womb that Supreme Lord appears, in whose womb the entire creation rests. So we can see how great the devotees of the Lord are. Even though the Lord may display his majesty and his opulence and his power by pastimes such as the ones when he sucks in the entire universe within his belly, but the devotee's love is so all-powerful that the Supreme Lord becomes subordinate to that love, and he becomes agreeable to appear in the womb of such a pure devotee. So whether in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, or in the form of Prishni Garbha, or in the form of Bala Mukunda who appeared before Markandeya Rishi, or as 400 Devaki Nandana who appeared before Mother Devaki in Mathura, it's all the same Lord. And it is to this Supreme Lord whom we have to surrender and offer our love and attain the perfection of our life. Dhruva Maharaj, being perfectly blessed with perfect knowledge, has understood the identity of the Lord even in the midst of his diverse forms. He said, you may have appeared in all these different forms, but I know that you are that same Supreme Lord. You are one Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So we will stop here because it is 9 o'clock. Any comments or questions? Prabhu, any comments? Devikinandan Prabhu, Shamik Rishi Prabhu, Tattvavit Prabhu, any comments? Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for this nice class. In Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada makes a line that karma is a combination of modes of material nature under the control and purview of eternal time. So because you mentioned about time, so how does time controls and supervises the modes of material nature and how it affects our karma.
Time creates divisions of past, present and future. Time creates change. Because without change, activity is not possible in this world. So therefore, it is a combination of karma or in the prakriti and kal that karma happens. Because activities are also happening here under the superintendence of the three modes of material nature, who are the real doer. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. So prakriti is the doer. The jiva is a secondary doer. And then there is kala. So combination of kala and prakriti with the desire of the jiva, who is conditioned, there is karma. Yes, somebody had raised a hand here. Yes, can you please pass the mic?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I was wondering, as you told the pastime, if there is any mention of specific significance of the vata, the banyan tree leaf, for that pastime, because it could be many other leaves, but why specifically the leaf of a banyan tree? Is there any explanation for that? Or
why it is a banyan leaf and why not?
Yeah, I was wondering, like in Bhagavad Gita, there is the banyan tree, which is the entire creation. Is there any explanation? Did you?
Well, for one thing, the banyan tree is a holy tree. Ashwattha vrikshadi, as one of the regulative principles, 64 regulative principles that Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is one of them, that we have to worship the holy trees like the Ashwattha, the banyan tree. It's a family of trees actually. That's one reason. Another reason also is, as you rightly said in the Bhagavad Gita, the entire creation is compared to a banyan tree. The material world is a reflection of that banyan tree. Because a banyan tree is very vast, it has many, many branches. And it is very complex. The branches and the sub-branches all mesh together, form a whole big network. So also with the creation. So that could be one reason why the banyan tree is there, because it represents creation. Any other question or comment? Yes. Yes, Devakinandan Prabhu.
Something came in my mind. Is about the power of devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
The devotional service is so powerful, it doesn't depend on the age or caste or creed. Dhruv Maharaj was simply 5-year-old boy, but he followed Narad Muni as it is. Although Narad Muni had described the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on whom he was meditating, but by following this instruction, now here Dhruv Maharaj offering obeisances to the Lord, as you know, nicely you describe, and Prabhupada writes that Dhruv Maharaj a complete understanding what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that happened because of the devotional service, as Krishna said, Bhakti Amahi Janati Jaunjasasmi Tatpataha. I can be understood, I am, by pure devotional service. I just thought that although Narad Muni describe one form, but here Dhruv Maharaj is describing a different form, a small boy, but this is because of devotional service.
Thank you very much. Yes, it shows the power of devotion. How, because of devotion, Krishna reveals to the devotee everything, all the truths about himself. Yes, one final question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Here in this verse, the Lord's Nepal is described as Ruha Kanchana.
Uh-huh.
So why this lotus is Kanchana, means gold? And Prabhupada, no, in purport, he described this Garbhadaka Sai Vishnu.
Gold doesn't refer to the Lord here, it refers to the golden stem of the lotus flower. Ruha Kanchana refers to the Padma. As you see, Ruha Kanchana Loka Padma.
Yes.
So it is a Padma that is Ruha Kanchana. not the Lord.
No, his navel. Yeah. His navel is compared as Ruha Kanchana Padma, where the, all the yes. lokas exist.
Where all the lotus comes from that, yes. So what is the question?
So my question is that why here is the lotus is Kanchana, means gold. It represents something.
Why the lotus is gold?
Yes.
Well, that is how it is, that is called Hiranyagarbha. Actually, there are different types of Hiranyagarbha. Brahma is also Hiranyagarbha. The sum total of all living entities are Hiranyagarbha. And the stem and the lotus is also called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranya means also gold. So the way the Lord has made the creation, this stem is also golden in nature. So it's called Hiranyagarbha. Okay?
But I think this sloka on Prabhupada lecture, that when Lord want to manifest this world, material world, so it will manifest like a shining gold. At the time of night of Brahma, the all the planets diligent and it become dark. And when the manifest time comes, it becomes shining like gold. I think it is.
Perhaps. Yes, maybe. Okay, I think we'll stop. It's a little late. Okay? Alan?
Thank you for class.
Thank you. We can't stop Brajananda Prabhu.
I heard from someone devotees, I cannot recall which one, the Lord is in every atoms, and still in his belly is whole universe.
Yes, the Lord is in every atom, and yet the whole universe is in him. This is the bundle of contradictions that the Absolute Truth is, and because he's a Lord, he reconciles all these opposites. Just see what a wonderful thing it is. Though all the universes are within the Lord, and the Lord is within every atom of every universe. What a wonderful phenomenon. So thank you for on this thought we can depart from this class. Yes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Hare Rama.